Please silence all electronic devices.
I'm sorry, folks. I don't trust them. And our folks don't trust them.
There is a great deal of overreaction from those who are criticizing this legislation. They will see me in court. You know, if the General Assembly were really trying to do a power grab, there's a lot of things the General Assembly could do, and we weren't.
And they don't have a very good track record there.
Any further discussion or debate?
From the broadcast silo at the North Carolina Legislature, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi, glad to have you along as we venture into a conversation about rural North Carolina. We'll talk about the rural-urban divide and just many of the rural items that are on the minds of folks who are monitoring this stuff, perhaps more closely than others. Here for the conversation is Patrick Woody, who is the president and CEO of the North Carolina Rural Center. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you having us.
North Carolina Rural Center or NC Rural Center?
NC Rural Center.
NC Rural Center. Okay. Just top line, give me a sense of what's the mission statement? What is the what's the primary focus?
Well, our mission really is to improve the quality of life of the people and communities that make up rural North Carolina. And we do that through investing time, research, and a lot of thought into what are the economic strategies that can really help build a stronger rural economy.
The Rural Center, you've been at the Rural Center for 12 years now.
Been there 12 years, almost.
And you recently, you've been embarking on a road trip. You're not quite finished with the road trip. You've been embarking on a road trip across the state. Tell me a little bit first about why you decided to do this, where the idea for this came from.
Well, you know, we're a big state, a state of 10 million people, and we serve just the rural counties of North Carolina. And under our definition, 80 of our 100 counties are rural. All of those 80 counties have population densities less than 250 per square mile. And we really believe it is population density that is the most important defining characteristic of what makes a rural place. And looking at those 80 counties, 4.1 million of our 10 million North Carolina residents live in those 80 counties and call those communities home. And if we've learned one thing over 30 years of doing rural economic development at the Rural Center, we've learned that when you've seen one rural county, you've seen one rural county. And as we interact with the General Assembly, with our congressional delegation, with corporate leadership at a statewide level, and also with foundation leadership across North Carolina, we want to make sure that we really understand the nuance at the local level in every region of the state, mountains to the coast, to the sand hills, to the border counties, wherever you might be in rural North Carolina, that we have a really good sense and understanding of what's going on in the ground in those rural communities. So we've spent about a year.
Wow.
We started last April.
And going we to will all 80 of these counties.
Going to all 80, spending some very intentional times with a cross-section of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both public sector, private sector, nonprofit sector, education system representatives, to really understand two questions, really. We have a couple-hour conversation around two big questions. Number one, what's working? What do you feel really good about? What do you think is making a difference in this county? And then the second question is, okay, what keeps you awake at night? What are the things that really challenge you as a community? And what are the things that you simply cannot solve alone?
Before we get into what's working and what may not be working or giving folks heartburn at night, those 80 rural counties, from the numbers that you look at, how many of those counties are losing population?
About a little over 50 of them are losing population. The good news is if you'd asked that question 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been a higher number. So we do see an economic recovery that has been very slow and very uneven across the state, but it has reached most places, and we see that in the numbers. It's just those rural numbers are very slow to recover, and currently we have a little over 50 of our 80 rural counties that have lost some population. A lot of that's very small loss. And I suspect in another couple of years, if we don't have another major economic downturn, that number will continue to go down a little bit.
Knock wood. If you would, give me two or three things that you heard most frequently during this road trip that's wrapping up soon about what is working well, what is vibrant.
Yeah, there were several things that really stood out to us as real common denominators in terms of good news and what is working well. First, that I would put at the top of that, you know, we have some real education and workforce challenges in rural North Carolina. We need to get our post-secondary educational attainment rates up for our adult population. What we saw almost universally for every county was success on the ground at a local level with early college and dual enrollment. And really that collaboration that occurs particularly between K-12 and the community college system, but also to some extent with the university system, both public and private universities, depending upon where you are. That's a very good sign to us, and we really can see the progress we're making on the ground with young people, with them taking advantage of some educational opportunities that weren't there before.
And conversely, what are some of the things that are most limited, most stressful to the leaders in these communities?
So we definitely, the thing we heard most clearly was the extent to which many of our rural areas are challenged with adequate broadband infrastructure. It's not every rural area, and if you look at a map of fiber to the home and business, that last mile fiber, there's actually some rural counties that are served as well as any urban part of this state. It's just that they're very few and far between. And we have a lot of gaps that are there. And it's a function of who is the mix of local providers, what is that density of that local population. But we have a real problem to solve in terms of how do we fill in those gaps. On the good side of the ledger, we see a number of small internet service providers or ISPs like Eastern Carolina Broadband down in Pink Hill and Duplin County, small co-ops like Skyline Telephone Co-op in my home area in northwestern North Carolina, Countrywide Communications around Yancey County, that really are solving the problem and providing very good service. But we see too many areas that really do not have any adequate broadband service at all. And most of our kids, even in some of our poorest counties, are now getting Chromebooks or other devices, at least in high school, some of them even down into middle and elementary school. And too many of them can't take those devices home and be able to use them. And it's an issue not only of accessibility, it's an issue of affordability in some places, families being able to afford the cost. We also have to worry about adoption rates. Mm-hmm. Where it is available, we need to do everything we can to encourage people to adopt broadband and to be subscribers where it's available.
In terms of these areas with limited broadband that are doing well. You mentioned Pink Hill, for example,
right,
in Duplin County. I would imagine to some extent it's going to take a collaborative approach, but from what
Absolutely.
You've seen in areas where it's worked well, what is the formula? And I'm moving my fingers around here because I'm sure it's a loose formula, but how do you get that to extend to other areas?
So some of the common denominators that we see clearly are public-private partnerships. We see examples of where, it's a mix of, local government really being aggressive, not in providing the service themselves, but in seeking to solve the problem locally and being very engaged in that. Pink Hill's a great example of a community that just literally recognizes the imperative of having broadband available and was fed up with waiting for broadband to come. And a group of local investors, three or four, got together, pooled some money, and started their own ISP. And they're literally doing it. They're putting fixed wireless on water storage tanks and grain silos in Duplin County in order to put that signal out there. The other secret is it's not a single technology. Mm-hmm. I think we've reached a point where we all understand the solution is not last mile fiber to every home and every business in every part of rural North Carolina.
Right, how much,
we'll never
right,
be
so
able to afford
that,
it.
Right, exactly.
But there's a lot of, and we also can't wait. A lot of people will suggest that we can just wait for new technologies to come along and we're going to leapfrog some of the technologies like fiber and others. And we don't believe we can wait. We can't deliver health care to our citizens now or in the future without broadband infrastructure. We can't deliver education at any level in our rural communities today or in the future without broadband infrastructure. And you can't grow a small business without broadband infrastructure.
So you hinted at obviously two of the other issues that are of major concern, major importance, priority for folks in rural counties.
Yeah.
There's the broadband, but there's also the rural health and the retention, the growth of small businesses. Is it, as we started talking about broadband, is it A, then B, from your perspective? I mean, does increasing access and improved broadband, is that going to inherently make a significant improvement as we think about rural health?
It will make a significant improvement. But, you know, we also see very clearly that there isn't a single silver bullet
right.
that is going to solve all the problems of rural economic development. So we've got to be able to really work on multiple fronts to move our communities forward and really give them the opportunity to participate in an economy that works better for everyone. In the area of rural health, we know out of the gate that in general, rural North Carolinians are not as healthy as their urban and suburban counterparts. Recently, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation put mm-hmm. out their new rankings of counties. And we have some rural counties that rank very high on that list. Those tend to be high amenity rural counties near the coast or in the mountains or very in close proximity to our metro areas. But we have a cluster of the worst health statistics in the state that are in rural northeastern North Carolina, down around the Sand Hills border with South Carolina, and a few places out in the west. And we've got a lot of work to do to improve the health outcomes for our rural citizens. And one of the primary problems is we have too many families and working families that have jobs and are participating in the economy that cannot afford the cost of health care. And our rural hospitals are delivering too much uncompensated care. Our free clinics and our health centers that are free are strained to the limit with what's coming through the door. We've got to figure out a way to narrow that coverage gap.
High rates of obesity, high rates of diabetes, mm-hmm. and in many areas, almost deserts as we think about access to dentists, to OBGYNs, a number of various kinds of practitioners. I'm going to ask you a loaded question here. Well, I'll try to pare it down. I was going to say, what can this building do? What can realistically happen out of the General Assembly, whether that's in the short session or in the next couple of sessions? So there are probably a dozen different things
yeah.
you can mention. What's priority one or two?
Yeah, so clearly the priority is how do we address this coverage gap? And there's a bill that's been introduced by several Republican members of the House, Josh Dobson from Marion, McDowell County, Representative Lambeth from Forsyth County, who has a professional background in healthcare, who've introduced a bill that we believe is very much a big step in the right direction and would narrow the coverage gap for about 250,000 working families in North Carolina. And we'd very much like to see that legislation advance. It's not a total solution, but it's a big step in the right direction. Secondly, there's a rural health access joint committee chaired by David Lewis and Senator Curtis that will come forth with some recommendations. They've spent a lot of time in their meetings discussing this recruitment problem of how do we really, what are the things we can do to attract more residents, primary care physicians, other specialists, dentists into rural practice. And we think as the rural center, we have some assets to offer in terms of small business development. And those medical practices are businesses. They employ people in their local community. A primary care office has about a $2 million annual economic impact in a rural community. And, you know, there's some things we can do with trying to help with loans and other things to attract more residents to a rural practice.
I hear you several times use the phrase coverage gap.
You
have to be careful not to use the word Medicaid. Is that part of just the calculus of the politics in this?
Well, yeah, you know, certainly I think we see, we certainly believe we missed an opportunity with expanding Medicaid. And in the long run, that would have created quite a bit of economic activity in our the health sector is a big deal in rural North Carolina. It employs 179,000 rural North Carolinians, and it's a $2 billion annual industry in rural North Carolina. So we missed out on an opportunity to really create some jobs and expand economic opportunity. But it's more important that we close that coverage gap. And I think the only realistic opportunity to do that is through the bill that I mentioned. And we certainly support that bill.
Patrick Woody is president and CEO of the North Carolina Rural Center. You can follow him on Twitter at Patrick Woody. That's W-O-O-D-I-E. You're a native of Allegheny County. Is that your favorite of the?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There's no close competition.
Okay.
I grew up in Allegheny County, which is the easternmost mountain county in North Carolina, northwest of Winston-Salem on the Virginia border. Great place to grow up in a little community called Piney Creek.
A beautiful place. And I remember that when I worked in Winston-Salem and I worked for the public radio station there, I was on in the mornings, and that was always the first county to have a delay or to be closed because of snow.
That's right, yeah.
Because it came alphabetically. This rural road trip that you have been on, you've been embarking on, what misconceptions are there out there that you've seen, you've learned, maybe on a personal level?
That's a great question, and it's something we think a lot about. There's probably been not a lot of issues that have garnered more ink or more airtime than talk about the rural-urban divide. And the narrative that's gone on over the last couple of years goes something like this. You know, urban counties or urban communities are doing great. They're growing. They're booming. They have a lot to offer. Everything is everybody's bullish about our urban economy.
Hunky-dory, yeah.
And it's a global trend. The world is urbanizing, not
right.
just, North,
not just
Carolina.
North Carolina. Of course.
Yeah. And the narrative about rural is things are not going well, a lot of economic distress, a lot of negative things, and will the last one out please turn out the lights? And that's not the reality on the ground. We've been in every rural county in this state except for two, and we'll finish those up in a couple of days. And we've seen really resilient people. We've seen local leadership that recognizes the challenges they face, but also recognize the opportunities they have to make the rural economy stronger and better. They're investing in their communities. You've got to be willing to invest in yourself. State government, federal government can't solve all of rural North Carolina's challenges or opportunities. And so you got to be willing to invest in yourself, and rural communities are. And they're solving a lot of really big problems without a lot of help outside of those communities.
I'm wondering what individuals can do, what their role is in this. I'll put myself out there. I've lived here for almost 12 years in North Carolina, and I've lived in Winston-Salem and Durham, Wilmington, and now I live in unincorporated Wake County. In terms of getting younger people out to these rural centers, rural areas, and I'm fortunate with my job, I've gotten to see and visit a lot of the state over the last 12 years. And truly, I mean, I love some of the rural stretches of the state, the coast, the mountains, but also just small main streets and general stores and hole-in-the-wall barbecue joints and state parks. I mean, I genuinely love the urban areas, and I love some of the rural areas just as much. But this is not about me. What do you all think needs to be done? What are you doing to try to foster?
Well, particularly in terms of the divide and people with an experience like you that are relative newcomers to the state that maybe haven't had as much an opportunity as even you've had to visit a lot of rural communities in our state. You know, we forget how much this state has changed. When we started 30 years ago, North Carolina had the highest percentage of native-born population of any state in the country. And today, 49% of our adult population, our voting age population that lives in North Carolina, was not born in the state of North Carolina.
Do you know how that ranks? So if we,
I don't know where it ranks in the total 50, but it's a huge shift just looking at the state of North Carolina, and just looking at our 80 rural communities. 35% of the people that call rural North Carolina home today were not born in the state of North Carolina. 52% of the urban counties were not born in the state. We think a lot about that, and we think. You know, we used to, in the 80s and 90s, you would hear leadership talk about North Carolina being a state of city cousins and country cousins, where most of the families had those rural-urban connections. They're not as obvious as they used to be. They're still there, but they're less prominent than they used to be. And with, so you know, with half of our adult population being relatively new to the state, you know, they don't have that experience. And so the only way to really narrow the divide, if you will, or the perception of a divide, is to be very intentional about that. And that's going to require us as the Rural Center reaching out a lot and spending a lot of time with urban legislators and with urban groups, which we do. We did a city retreat. We actually participated in the Charlotte City Council retreat. To talk about, you know, bridging and putting a focus on rural-urban connections. Every North Carolinian should think about the ways we are interdependent and how we are mutually dependent. Urban North Carolina would have a severe labor shortage if it were not for rural citizens that commute every day into our urban centers to work. Urban North Carolina also benefits from workforce that commutes out and fills some of the positions in our rural communities. Urban gets more out of that in terms of a bigger net gain of people. Water resources, the way our state is developed and the concentration of the metro areas, for the most part, our water resources aren't where the people are. And that's really going to require cooperation and policy that really bridges urban and rural communities and takes into account both. Our healthcare systems are fully integrated throughout this state, located in our urban centers, but with tentacles that reach into even the smallest places in our rural communities, and that's very important. Food, and there, you know, a huge food movement in this state. You see it in every restaurant you go into, almost local food on the table. And one of the biggest opportunities for economic development in rural communities is doing more of that value-added food processing, adding value to what we grow. We're the most agriculturally diverse state in the country, except for California. But we have historically done very little of the value added here, and that's a huge economic opportunity. And people are just much more aware of where their food comes from. So that's another important connection that rural and urban North Carolina share. We got to really shine a spotlight on those connections and be very intentional about that to address this perception of a big divide.
Patrick Woody leads the NC Rural Center. I want to get you out of here on a few quick ones. The two counties left for you to do on your road trip are which ones?
We will be in Greene County and Wayne County on Monday.
Okay. Eastern or Western North Carolina barbecue?
Both.
No. I
won't
push you on
that. I'm a child of the West, but I actually prefer the Eastern style.
I mentioned Main Streets before. Do you have a favorite rural Main Street or rural general store in the state? You can't say Allegheny County either. I'm going to cross that off the list.
And Allegheny's actually in the process of really doing some major revitalization to their Main Street, which is going to put it in a place it's never been in a long, long time. But next door in Ashe County, a phenomenal success story is the little town of West Jefferson. Arts has been really central to their arts and native Western North Carolina music has been really central to their revitalization. I certainly would point to them. Mount Airy, which is on the other side of Sparta in Surrey County, another great little town. But you find them all over the state. We love what's happening in Kinston and in Goldsboro.
Kinston's really neat. I've been to Kinston a couple of times.
There's a great vibe there. Yep. It's a huge downtown corridor, and much larger than it than you would think it would be for the size of the town. But that's because in the history of this state, particularly when tobacco was king, you know, Kinston was the center of the universe in eastern North Carolina. So they've got a, it's a big challenge, it's a big undertaking, it's incredible the energy that's there. We've gotten to know Vivian Howard a little bit. She spoke at our rural assembly last fall, and she's the poster child for growing a small business in a really excellent big way in a small rural eastern North Carolina town.
Some phenomenal restaurants. There's a good brewery in downtown Kinston.
Mother
There's
Earth,
a good oyster
great
bar,
little
oyster house.
Retro motor lodge that is like stepping back in time.
It's a funky spot. I don't know how much of an outdoor person you are. Is there a state park that chances are a number of people who are going to listen to this podcast are going to go, I've never heard of that state park that you've been to that you would recommend people?
Well, you know, my hometown state park, New River State Park, mm-hmm. and Stone Mountain State Park are beautiful places most of our state has had an opportunity to experience. But, you know, that's another great point. So many of the natural resources of this state are located in rural North Carolina. You know, with the state park network that we have, and just incredible diversity of this state, from the sand hills to the coastal plain to the mountains and the coast, we have a lot to offer. And that's why so many people have moved to North Carolina, and that's why we'll see another couple of million come our way in the next 20 years.
You are, I believe I read, a double deacon. You have 2 degrees from Wake Forest.
I do.
You were there in that Muggsy, Tyrone Muggsy Bogues era.
Yeah, Muggsy was in my class, actually.
There you go. Favorite athlete who wore black and gold? Do you have a favorite?
Well, it would be Muggsy, actually. Yeah. You know, anybody his height that excelled in that sport to the degree he did, that's a great success story. You know, and I'll tell you one other interesting story, talking about sports figures. Catfish Hunter, a famous baseball player at one time, the highest paid professional athlete in sports, period.
Yeah.
Hertford, North Carolina is home for him. There's a great little, the chamber operates a little Catfish Hunter Memorial Museum. The thing I did not know until we did our county visit to that part of the world was that throughout his entire professional baseball career, his family and he, they lived in Hertford, North Carolina. He never left Hertford. Obviously, he spent a lot of time in New York and in California with playing Major League Baseball, but that family never left rural North Carolina, and his widow and kids are still very close to Hertford.
My wife's family has a house out in Currituck County, mm-hmm. On the Currituck Sound, and when we head out in the summers, we drive through Edenton. There's a sign.
Yeah.
As you
home
enter
of Catfish Hunter,
Hertford County, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's neat. Good stuff. The NC Rural Center is having a Rural Day on Tuesday, May 29th, at the North Carolina Museum of History. You can learn much more by going to their website, ncruralcenter.org. Patrick, thanks for coming on the podcast. This was
and
fun.
One
no
thing
right
I better yeah, correct, please. There is a Hertford County, but the town of Hertford is in Currituck County.
Oh, okay. That I'm glad
we
you
have
did
a lot
that.
Of little quirks like
well, no,
that drive
where's
people
Hertford
crazy.
Hertford County, Hertford,
so it's in the northeast too, so
right.
It's pretty close.
But Hertford is within Currituck County. Hertford County is a different place.
That's correct. And
I'm a northeast.
The town of Beaufort is not in in Beaufort County.
Yeah.
Beaufort's in South Carolina.
We'll save that for next time. Patrick, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
As always, good choice by you tuning into the WNC Politics Podcast. You can subscribe to the program on Google, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you get your on-demand radio or auditory programs. And stay up to date with North Carolina political news throughout the week at our website, wunc.org. For Patrick Woody, I'm Jeff Tiberi. We'll talk to you again soon.
He walks just like a waterfowl if I get them deep river blue. There ain't no one to cry for me, and the fish all go out on a spree when I get them deep river blue.